All right, we're going to go now to a friend of almost 20 years. I think it's actually probably 20 years next year, 20 years next year that I've known Tamara and her husband, Lowell. And Tamara is, well, she was named one of America's 100 Kingmakers by Time Magazine a few years ago because she is so influentially involved in the process of public policy and politics and elections in the great state of Iowa. She's also here on Frank's Beach. When Mike and I started Lindell TV, I thought, well, one of the first people I'd like to get on board, in addition to Alex Newman, is Tamara Scott. And she's on each day from noon to 1, right before I come on at 1 Central. She's on from noon to 1 Central. Tamara Scott joins us on a Friday night. Tamara, thank you for, and thank Lowell, your husband, for setting aside Friday night and being with us tonight.
Thank you, Brandon. Always good to be with you, and I'm honored to be part of the Lindell team. Thanks for that invitation, too.
Absolutely. Love having you with us. All right, so we're going to talk tonight about a Article 5 convention, or a con-con. I am not for a constitutional convention, I will say, or a con-con, or Article 5. They can try to change the name. They'll say, oh, we're not for a constitutional convention, we're for an Article 5 convention. Folks, it's the same thing. Now, I want to say up front, when you go to the website that is promoting the idea of a constitutional convention or Article 5, you'll find some names and faces of some people I really like. You'll find some names and faces of people I really respect and admire. You'll find some faces of some rhinos and some other people I don't care too much for. But I want to make it very clear. This is not in any way questioning the good people that have found their way onto that page. My guess is they have endorsed something that out of the chute sounds really good. And if it was presented and you didn't have a background in studying it, you'd probably say, that makes a lot of sense. Let's do that. But tonight we're going to share with you why an Article 5 convention or a con-con or a constitutional convention is very dangerous. Let's start, if we could, Tamara. How about you? Where do you stand on a Article 5 or constitutional convention? As if I didn't know, but go ahead.
I think it's absolute, right? I think it's probably one of the biggest threats to our Constitution and to our sovereignty as a nation that we're facing right now. Not just from outside America is our threat, it's inside America. And Brandon, I think it's coming. I think it was so, deceitfully, just ingenious the way they did this. They being whoever it is at the top of Convention of States, which Mark Meckler is the founder, co-founder, and they have purposely infiltrated the Christian, conservative, evangelical groups. And I've been telling you that. I've been feeling like that they've learned the language of a missionary going to a new country. They learned the lingo. They know the things that are concerns to these folks. And those are the things that they're marketing: a balanced budget, reigning in government, local control, term limits. That seems to be one that hits it off with everybody. But if they really understood the problems with a balanced budget amendment or term limits, they'd understand those are not fixes at all, but they in fact limit our liberty and put likely more danger for the citizen. With both those ideas, they're both dangerous if you understand them. But they've learned the language, and I've been telling you that, and I now believe people are backing me up on this. Mark Meckler was recently at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention just this past week. Why would Mark Meckler need to be at that convention other than to winnow in and use these talking points? And I've said it, and I don't mean to offend people, but he purposely goes to newly engaged legislators as soon as you put your name on the ballot as a candidate. Term limits swoops in to get you to sign their petition. They hang out at gun shows. They get people to sign term limits petitions. And there are papers out there about their phony petitions and how, and Phyllis Schlafly even wrote about this, I think back in 2014. She said, you write your name on a petition, don't be surprised. There may be small print on the back page somewhere, but your name will end up on a COS petition you knew nothing about. And we've had that happen, Brandon. Elected officials and their staff members who have called when they've gotten COS emails have ended up at dead ends. The email didn't work. It was an invalid email, or the sender's name, when they contact the sender, says, I didn't send that. I didn't give permission for that. But these guys go into gun shows. They go into those places where they can find the hotbed conservatives And then they give them just enough information to get them worked up to build a fervor to come along with this idea of a constitutional convention, now called a convention of states. And so if you have Christians, evangelical Christians who we know, love, and trust, but they may not have understood this issue, dug into it, done their own research, unfortunately, or maybe don't have a spiritual discernment, a foundation, sorry, but some of them lack discernment, then they are the fruit that is ripe for picking by Mark Meckler.
Wow.
And that's what we're seeing.
Wow. Wasn't Mark Meckler over at Parler? Was it Mark Meckler over at Parler?
Yeah, for a short time.
Yeah.
For a short time.
But let me show you an
article. Probably just long enough.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, probably just long enough to collect a lot of emails while he was there, right? A lot of data. That seems to be something he enjoys. Is that wrong of me to say? That's just my opinion.
No,
right?
You're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. You're smart to say, and my opinion. That's great. You're covered now. Look at the headline here. This is from the New American. This is an article back in 2014. By the way, I'm going to play a clip in a minute from an interview from 2008 with my friend Phyllis Schlafly, who's since passed away. She was an attorney, as you guys know. But look at the New American, 2014. Socialist and Soros fight for Article 5 convention. Well, that tells you a lot, doesn't it, folks? Now, this is written by Joe Wolverton II, who's an attorney, an esteemed attorney, by the way. Yes, there is such a thing. He writes, the Young Turks, most constitutionalists, and I imagine most fans of Mark Levin, and by the way, because Mark Levin's pushing this big time, don't spend much time during the day watching the Young Turks, the YouTube-based news and entertainment channel that dubs itself the world's largest online news network. As unfamiliar as they may be with the Young Turks, it seems certain conservatives pushing for a con are even more unfamiliar with who pays the bills at this online purveyor of progressive ideology. George Soros. Dan Gonar reports, quote, in fact, Soros funds nearly every major left-wing media source in the United States. 45 of those are financed through his support of the Media Consortium. The organization is a network of the country's leading progressive and independent media outlets. The list is predictable, everything from Alternet to the Young Turks, end quote. That's right. George Soros, the financier of global fascism, is pumping millions of dollars into the same Article 5 campaign that is being promoted by Mark Levin, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, and other popular conservative spokesmen. But what will those in Wolfpack do if they're able to get their, quote, amendment proposed and accepted by an Article 5 convention? Quote, celebrate the fact that we had the courage and persistence to accomplish something truly amazing and historic, end quote. Anything a group with this anti-constitutional agenda would do to our Constitution would certainly be historic in the worst way. So there we go. Documented from an attorney who I'd known, his research at the New American, which our buddy Alex Newman is with, telling us, hey, George Soros pushes the idea of a constitutional convention or an Article 5 convention. Tamara?
So, you know, they like to say, and Mark Levin's taken me apart on his show, and they like to say that those of us who oppose a constitutional convention or a convention of states, whatever you want to call it, and Rob Nadelson is the one who changed that terminology once folks began to learn how dangerous a constitutional convention was, then they just kind of changed the terminology so that people were not sure again. It was something different. Ironically, it's all under Article 5. All of a sudden, Article 5 supports this one, and now it supports that one. But they want to tell us that liberals oppose it. So Tamara Scott's on the side of liberals. As Robert Brown pointed out on a recent interview here in Des Moines, I was with him in the studio, when the pro-COS host tried to take him apart on this, yeah, there's about a list of 200 liberal groups that oppose it, but there's a list of about 600 that support it. So it's about 3-1 liberal groups supporting this. You're going to find liberals and conservatives on both sides of this issue. This is one area, folks, where you've got to do some discernment and do some research, weigh it out, pray it out, and decide for yourself. Because as Brandon mentioned, some of the great people that are on that list, that COS, which is a political group, COS is a political interest group. They like to use the names of these influencers, these social celebrities from the conservative movement. They have the right to be wrong just like everybody else.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't mean you want to be wrong with them.
Exactly right. And I'm going to play a clip here as well as show you here in a minute from their website, the Article 5 or the Convention of the States website, how many state legislatures have now passed? They've already passed and said, we sign off on the idea of a con or an Article 5 convention, again, whatever you want to call it. We'll show you the states that have partially done that. They need another chamber to do it, and we'll show you those that are considering doing it. Folks, they're getting close to getting all the states they need to go into an Article 5 convention, depending on how you count it. That's what's so strange, because some states approved this so many decades ago. The question is, has it expired and does it need to be revoted? You want to comment on that real quick, Tamara?
Well, remember Larry Arn and his debate with Michael Ferris, clear back, I think, in 2014 or 15, and it's a great, kind debate if you want to go back between the two of them. But he warned then, you bring this back up and you're going to have the ERA resurface. And Brandon, what happened? We've been battling the ERA, which has been dead and expired for how many decades? And all of a sudden, we were battling it back in states 2 or 3 years ago. And part of the reason was, and Larry Arn warned, it will no longer be just about two genders. It will be about the wide array of gender descriptions that are now out there. But the other reason, and we saw this with the Virginia governor at the time when he was making the statements about allowing babies to die on the table, because if you pass the ERA, there's nothing you can do about abortion, all those laws, because it's a gender-specific situation. So that came into play again. Larry Arn was right in 2014 and 15, but see how they tried to use those old, age-old calls for an ERA, they're doing the same thing. Now with COS, some people say, oh, it's limited. It has to be specific in wording. Now they're saying, no, not so much. All of these can work. Term Limits USA, they're all kind of mixing them. It just depends on whose map you want to go by.
And let's remind everybody what the ERA is, because you're using that initials, and I'm sure there's a lot of folks that don't know what that stands for. That stands for the Equal Rights Amendment. And back in the what was it, probably 73, 74,
70s, yeah.
You know, somewhere in there, when you were just a little bitty girl, Tamara, they were pushing the Equal Rights Amendment, and I was actually pretty little, and I remember the Equal Rights Amendment being talked about. I was born in 69, and this, I'll have to look up when it was proposed. Maybe Logan, look that up real quick. Tell me, or Jill, if you're watching, Jill, text me when they started debating the Equal Rights Amendment. But it had to be I'm going to guess 73, 74, 75, 76, somewhere in there. And it was a big deal. And interesting enough, there was a lady that was fighting it who was an attorney, who was a strong attorney, female, who became the face of it, right? And her name was Phyllis Schlafly. And as a little boy, I remember the Phyllis Schlafly Eagle Forum newsletter. And it was on my grandmother's... Yeah. The Equal Rights Amendment. What year did they debate that? Yeah, so when was it brought back up in the 70s, though? And, I'll look it up. Yeah, we'll look it up while we play this clip. The newsletter.
So you're
by
right on Phyllis
Schlafly. Yeah, it was on my grandmother's coffee table regularly, right? So here I'm, a little kid, seeing this newsletter and hearing my grandmother talking with people about the Equal Rights Amendment, and it was a big talk at our churches, and our conservative churches and families were talking about it. And so when I grew up, wrote my first book, then Phyllis Schlafly started interviewing me regularly. We became friends. Well, I had the chance to interview Phyllis. I'm sure you knew Phyllis quite well as I did. I had the chance to interview Phyllis many times, be on her show, be on panels with her at CPAC. Well, Tamara, I went back into my Situation Room where I archive all my radio shows, thousands and thousands and thousands of radio shows, ebooks, audiobooks, documentaries, TV shows, everything, conference DVDs, conference DVDs, we film our conferences. And I found multiple interviews I did with Phyllis Schlafly. Here's one of Phyllis Schlafly. I think we have a graphic for this. She's since passed away. By the way, she was one of the first conservative leaders to jump behind Donald Trump, which, of course, upset some people. But she was one of the first people to jump behind Donald Trump. Early on. She's since, of course, passed away. But here's my interviewing her about the Equal Rights Amendment and the dangers of it. Article 5 Convention of the States, or CONCON, back in 2008. Listen to this.
And I went back and I found an article from yours that you wrote many years ago, but it's still very relevant, on the dangers of a CONCON, or a constitutional convention. Bring us up to speed, because I know you have also talked to some folks out in Ohio, and then tell me why this is really a bad idea.
Well, it's a terrible idea. With all the problems our country has, we shouldn't take that one on. The thing about a constitutional convention is it's its own show. It can do whatever it wants. And you may think you're calling it just to do what you want, but it can very, very easily be taken over by people who want to rewrite the whole Constitution. Brandon, you should ask any of the Ron Paul people who tried to go into the various township, district, county, and state conventions this year, and they all learned real fast that once you got a convention there, they can do whatever they want. They can get by with anything that's not according to rules. They can rule you out of order and take up whatever they want. And we have the greatest constitution that has lasted over two centuries. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And in the 1970s and 80s, there was a great push for this, for people who wanted a balanced budget amendment. And when it got down to the wire and they began to hold hearings and hear the arguments against it, why they stopped. And it hasn't gone anywhere since about 1984, and I don't know. It's the Ohio people must be frustrated with the big spending in Washington and think this is a solution. But I can tell you, it's not a solution. It would be like jumping from the frying pan into the fire.
Without a doubt. And the thing, too, as you note in your article from several years ago, like I said, it's still extremely relevant, this article. I think you originally wrote it, according to your website, in 84, and as I read it this morning.
That's right. That's right, Brandon. That's when we were coming down the wire on that issue, and I'm generally credited with providing the major arguments, and former Chief Justice Warren Burger gave me a letter that supported everything I was doing. Once the convention's called, they can make their own rules. Just think about that. They can decide to repeal the Second Amendment. No telling what they can do.
Well, you're right. They repeal the Second Amendment, dealing with our right to bear arms, keep and bear arms. As we've talked about with others, they could put in all kinds of New World Order stuff. I mean, they could put in
one of the things, if you track the people who really don't like our Constitution and want to write it, one of the things they really want to get rid of is the two-thirds requirement for treaties. And you know, we've got some UN treaties hanging out there that Barack Obama said he's going to push for, such as the Law of the Sea Treaty, the UN Treaty on Women, and the UN Treaty on the Rights of the Child, and an upcoming global warming treaty. And one of the things that the people don't like our Constitution want to get rid of is the two-thirds requirement for a vote in the Senate in order to get a treaty. And that's the extremely important part of our separation of powers, our checks and balances, and the preservation of the sovereignty of the United States.
Well, absolutely. I mean, because as you say, the two-thirds majority vote in the U.S. Senate to confirm a treaty, if they lowered that, we end up with the Constitutional Convention on the Rights of the Child. We could end up with the Open Sea Treaty. I mean, all these would destroy our parental authority, destroy our national sovereignty, have us paying global taxes to the United Nations, for Pete's sake.
That's one of the things they want to do through the Law of the Sea Treaty. And for the first time, they would be able to impose direct taxes on it and on us, and not wait for the Congress to appropriate funds. And so there's just no end to the mischief they could do. This is a terrible idea. Ohio should get back to doing something constructive about protecting American jobs instead of messing around with our Constitution.
All right, that was 2008, my interview with Phyllis Schlafly. We looked it up during the break. The Equal Rights Amendment, which could then subject your daughters to the draft and do all kinds of things that the feminists would want to do, that would really degrade women, not protect women and lift up women and do what any civil society should do, which is protect women. This would take away a lot of those protections. But this was introduced in the House in 1971 and by the Senate on March 22nd, 1972. So I was right in my ballpark of saying 73, 74, 75, somewhere in there. And Congress had originally set a ratification deadline for March 22nd, 1979. And so anyway, it went on from there. But the reality is that's the Equal Rights Amendment. Now, again, You go, as Phyllis Schlafly and I were talking in 2008, to a Article 5 convention or constitutional constitutional convention or convention of the states, all the different names they have. I mean, they can't. I don't care what Mark Levin says. You cannot limit this thing. They can make up the rules as they go. And if you know if George Soros is for this, this has got to be a bad idea, Tamara.
Supposedly George Soros has given money to both sides. It's George Soros. He likes the disruption and the chaos. In fact, Brandon, we were talking, we've been investigating. Let me first say, Phyllis Schlafly, by the way, when she defeated the ERA, this was before cell phones, this was before email. She did it with postcards and the phone that was tethered to the wall, right?
Right.
She was so masterful in what she was able to do, because while the feminists were out discussing whether or not it was okay to wear lipstick in the office, she was talking Supreme Court justices and issues like this. And even back then, she was warning us against a constitutional convention and against those who don't like the Constitution. How many more do you think don't like the Constitution today after decades of being taught in the public schools, the government schools, how unfair the Constitution is by those white men? We're up
document.
Even against... You right? As Robert Brown says, more people today would lean with Marx than they would Madison. We would be in a dangerous, dangerous ditch if we tried to undo this Constitution today. But we've talked about this. One of the articles, and I'm not sure which one it was, it might be the one you're reading from, one of the proponents for a constitutional convention says we have to have things so unrest, things in such crisis that people will want a new constitution, that they'll call for this convention. And so I'm looking through another one that's written by the No Convention of States after Arizona, which has dealt with this situation. And listen to this. A radical technique used to disrupt political proceedings, you mentioned Soros, is to organize mobs well in advance to activate civil unrest at key times when pressure is needed on decision makers. This was used by Soros-funded groups in Ukraine to destabilize elections, and also used in our 2012 Arizona presidential preference election, and documented here. And then they've got a PDF where you can go to that. But I'm just telling you, think back. We've been talking about this, the 2020 year of the BLM, the marches coming through our cities, destroying things, burning things down while elected officials marched beside them. They weren't arrested. We had police stations that were burned and held captive, municipal buildings in states out west that were vandalized, destroyed, if not burned. And then before that, Antifa, go back to even before the Occupy movement. These are groups that have been building the fervor. David Barton warned us about a democracy, right? A republic is different than a democracy. A democracy is where you just build the fervor and you get enough people worked up and then you can talk them into almost anything. He talks about that being
and
what
yet
on
he's
Jesus
for
on the
this
cross,
idea.
The
yet
fervor.
David Barton is for this, and I saw one of his guys having a little chit chat promoting it via email the other day. With Mark Meckler.
Yep. Exactly. And like I say, everybody has the right to be wrong. People need to decide for themselves. Scalia, who opposes this, by the way, and I just sent you a clip. I don't know if you had enough time to preview it.
Yeah, let's play a clip, and then we're going to go to the website of the conventionofthestates.com. We'll go to their website and show you by their own count where we're at, how dangerously close we are to this. And they want to give you some quotes by some of our founding fathers and Supreme Court members. Did you have something else you want to say before we play the clip, Tamara?
Well, Scalia warns against a constitutional constitutional convention. Now, they try to do semantics. In this clip you're going to see, before this part you're going to see, they were trying to twist the words of Scalia that he actually supported it. But the quote I was going to say from Scalia is, he says, if you can't separate bad ideas from good people, find another line of work. And that's what I would say to folks as far as disagreeing or agreeing on convention of states. Their way is to dismiss, to be derisive, to ridicule. This clip you're going to see is Robert Brown and Meckler. Robert Brown refuses to debate, Mark Meckler refuses to debate Robert Brown. Mark Meckler refuses to debate Robert Brown. Montana sent him a registered letter. He refused that because Robert Brown's not an attorney. Yet he also refuses to debate Publius Halda because she is an attorney, but she's not the right kind of an attorney.
Well,
so,
and by the way,
again, they're derisive and they try to use...
Our Constitution was not written for attorneys. It was written for the average American who at the time could understand it was a farmer.
Right. So do you have that? You have that clip from this is in our state house in Iowa.
Let's go to that clip, Logan.
Scalia talked about a constitutional convention.
Look up the definition of that word. It's no,
convention states, look.
He knows the law dictionary term he used.
I think Scalia knows the difference between a constitutional convention and a convention state. He suggests it doesn't.
By a law dictionary definition, which he would be using, go look it up. It actually uses Article 5.
You know, hold on one second. I understand you're not a lawyer. See, lawyers don't use law dictionaries. Right, we understand the definition.
We have terms of art.
They use terms of art. According to context and terms of art. I understand that you quote blacks and you think you know the law dictionary. You're not a lawyer.
Boy, they are really condescending.
Oh my goodness. That was just a part of it. That was just a portion of the conversation. And then right after that, Mark Meckler went right upstairs after he's promising that he's not going to debate Robert Brown ever. He goes right upstairs and tells the COS supporters that he will stand with them any day against the likes of Robert Brown. So I guess technically he didn't say he would or wouldn't debate. So if you want to play the semantics game, which they are so well inclined to do, and apparently trained to do, then yes, what he said was okay. But here's the challenge. Mark Meckler, just debate Robert Brown. If it's a good idea, if you think this is something that people should get behind, just debate Robert Brown. My goodness, he's not even an attorney. You ought to be able to whip this up in no time.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. All right, let's go to, let's see, I got a page here I want to show. Let's see, where is it? With quotes. Here it is. Look at this. All right, let's look at some of these quotes. The men that warned about the dangers of a con. Here we go. During April 1788, our future first U.S. President Chief Justice John Jay wrote that another convention would run and, quote, extravagant risk, end quote. In Federalist number 49, by the way, they didn't always spell words then the way we do today, just so you know. In Federalist number 49, Madison shows a convention is neither proper nor effective to restrain government when it encroaches. In his November 2nd, 1788 letter to Tuberville, Madison said he, quote, trembled, end quote, at the prospect of a second convention. And if there were an Article 5 convention, quote, the most violent partisans, see how they spell that? Different than we would. And, quote, individuals of insidious views, end quote, would strive to be delegates and put and would have a, quote, dangerous opportunity of sapping the very foundation of the fabric, end quote, of our country. In Federalist number 85, for those who don't know what the Federalist Papers are, they were papers written by some of our founders explaining what the Constitution meant. And by the way, the American people, who was the average person then, was a farmer, waited with great anticipation for the next publishing of the Federalist Papers in newspaper form. In Federalist number 85, Hamilton said he, quote, dreads, end quote, the consequences of another convention because the enemies of the Constitution want to get rid of it. Justice Arthur Goldberg said in his 1986 editorial in the Miami Herald that, quote, it cannot be denied that, end quote, the Philadelphia Convention of 1787, quote, broke every restraint intended to limit its power and agenda, end quote, and, quote, any attempt at limiting the agenda, an Article 5 convention, would almost certainly be unenforceable, end quote. There you go, folks. They can't stop anything. George Soros and his buddies get in there, and see, that's what these guys like to claim, is they could limit it. Chief Justice Warren Burger said in his June 1988 letter to Phyllis Schlafly, which you heard her talk about, quote, there is no effective way to limit or muzzle the actions of a constitutional convention. After a convention is convened, it will be too late to stop the convention if we don't like its agenda. A new convention could plunge our nation into constitutional confusion and confrontation at every turn, end quote. Justice Scalia, April 17th, 2014, at the 106 mark of this video that she provides, says, quote, I certainly would not want a constitutional convention. I mean, whoa, who knows what would come of that, end quote. Need I keep going, Tamara?
So this is the semantics they play. And then there's another great list of quotes that I think are important. And these are quotes from the Convention of States movement, the political action group, their staff, their own staff counsel, Robert Kelly, we have him on video, saying, well, yes, it's broad. Yes, it's vague. We want it that way on purpose. We want to go into Article 1, Article 2, Article 3, Article 5. All right, folks. This is not about amending the Constitution. If they want to undo Article 1, 2, and 3, that is your first three branches of government. That's your executive, your congressional, your executive, and your judicial. So they're admitting to you right there, that's not an amendment, that's an overhaul. Then they want to undo Article 5, which is the very article that they're misusing to call for this convention, because they want to make it easier to rewrite or amend our Constitution in the future. Brandon, you know what you call countries who rewrite their Constitution often? Volatile, hostile, violent, unsteady. This is not a good idea. We can amend our Constitution. We have a way to do that in place. Article 5 talks about it. It's the way the 27 amendments have been ratified, the 10 Bill of Rights, the 10 amendments for the Bill of Rights, and the 27 we have. It's arduous for a reason, and David Barton used to talk about that. It's supposed to weigh out emotions and passions and let long-term thinking of impact come in. And by doing that, then we don't do things like a fervor and where they hung, the mobocracy that he talks about, hung Jesus on the cross. That's what we want in government. That's good government, which, by the way, there are several constitutions already proposed for these guys who say, oh, it's safe. There are several new constitutions proposed. Apparently, Robbie George, who sits on the board with Convention of States Mark Meckler, has helped rewrite one called the Conservative Constitution that folks say the Second Amendment would be in great danger. The New States Constitution, people talk about. What if you change the ratification process, which some say the New States Constitution does? Remember, our founding fathers did that in 1787. They changed it from a unanimous vote to three-fourths vote because they were concerned they wouldn't get it passed. Mark Meckler has backpedaled on this. He has said that, first off, we were coming against our founding fathers as if we were saying terrible things about them. Then when experts say that's exactly what they did, and Robert Brown's challenged him to find a paper that says that they hadn't overexceeded their boundaries, then he's changed that tune. And on the recent show in Iowa, he said, well, there was no constitution before this, so they didn't overdo their boundaries. Well, you may not have called the Articles of Confederation constitution on the top, just like the Bible may not say the word abortion, but it's pretty clear about abortion, about taking life. So even if Articles of Confederation didn't have the word constitution on it, it was still our constitution, which we argue in that clip that we showed you. They want to argue whether or not we had a constitution.
How recent was that clip? Semantics. How recent was that video we just saw?
January of this year. January of this year, Santorum was walking through, and I caught him. Before that portion you saw, I brought up Phyllis Schlafly, and he said, I don't agree with Phyllis Schlafly. Think that through. He wants to disagree with Phyllis Schlafly. And then the part you didn't see also was I asked him if he was paid. He didn't want to talk about that either. And I kept on him and got him to admit that, yes, this is a paycheck to them. He said, Tamara, you got to earn a living. And I said, well, I'm not getting paid for this. Most of us are walking away from our paying jobs to fight this. We do it on our own time.
Yep. Look at this. This is
you can look at the 990s. There are 990s out there that talk about how much money Meckler has made, his wife has made. I think Tom Coburn made money. I think Michael Ferris made good money. It's nothing wrong with being paid for your labor, but just understand, folks, those of us who are out to preserve the Constitution are doing it out of loyalty to the Constitution, not out of money.
This is by attorney Joanna Martin, who also goes by a pen name, but she's done a great job over at the Madison Forum. So some of this work is at themadisonforum.com. She writes, during September 2016, with great fanfare and hoopla, the Convention of the States staged a three-day simulated convention. Did you know about this, Tamara?
Mm-hmm.
This is
mm-hmm.
pretty fascinating.
Yeah, is that the one in Fredericksburg, Virginia?
In Williamsburg, yeah.
Yeah, in Virginia.
Yeah. Apparently,
where they passed some of the amendments. Now,
yeah, she says, to make us believe that a convention called by Congress under Article 5 of our Constitution, the delegates would write a new constitution, but would do nothing more than propose wise amendments, which would, quote, limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government, end quote. Most of the delegates of the simulated convention were Republican state legislators. Here is the list of delegates from each state. She provides them. The delegates from Georgia were Representatives Timothy Barr, Buzz Brockway, and Bruce Williamson. But she has a whole list you can click. The delegates to the simulated convention approved 6 amendments. This is what you were just talking about. 1 for term limits and 5 others would drastically increase the powers of the federal government. The complete text of the 6 amendments approved at the simulated convention and how delegates from states voted are here in a nutshell. 1 of the amendments would make Congress existing an unconstitutional practice of spending wildly on whatever they want constitutional for as long as Congress continues to approve increases in the debt. Another would delegate to the federal government dictatorial new powers over individual Americans, such as I witnessed 40-plus years ago in communist East Europe and the Soviet Union. It delegates to the federal government total power over the movement and or transportation of persons across state lines. The amendment also would delegate the federal government additional Soviet-style dictatorial powers over Americans. Under our existing constitution, only Congress has the power to make law. But one of the amendments would transform into law every word, order, dictate, ruling, opinion issued by anyone in the executive branch of the federal government. Another would authorize Congress to impose a national sales tax and national value-added tax. Another would legalize the regulatory administration, Ministry of State law, and rulemaking by federal executive agencies. All those rules and rulemaking are now unconstitutional as in violation of Article 1 and as of outside the scope of the enumerated powers. So the amendments don't limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government. They would increase the powers of the federal government by delegating new dictatorial powers over Americans by legalizing powers the federal government has already usurped. And then she says, one assumes that the delegates to the simulated convention didn't understand the ramifications of the amendments they voted for and were misled by others at the convention who hold insidious views. This is what this push for a convention is all about, that they are exploiting state legislators to get it by telling them that a convention that they can get amendments to, quote, limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government, end quote. So, again, this is the whole point. I mean, they're proving it. They supposedly conservatives from Republican state legislators go in there and somebody hijacked them and boom, look at what they're doing. Just as we're warning. Yep. I had no clue about this until I started researching this more today.
Yeah, and those were all conservatives. Those were all pro-convention of states, pro-constitutional convention conservatives. There's nothing saying if we ever do have the unfortunate risk of having a constitutional convention, there's no guarantee that the delegates will be conservative. First off, go to your Article 5 of your U.S. Constitution. And here's part of the deal, is they bring up things and they're derisive, as you saw the behavior of Mark Meckler. So they make people feel like you don't know enough, you don't dare talk against this. And then they also play on the frustration of folks, especially after 2 years we've just come through unconstitutional overreach with this COVID governments closing down businesses where they have no business, which I ask, by the way, if these folks were really concerned about the Constitution, why weren't they igniting what their supposed 5 million members and standing up for the Constitution? They didn't. Because they really just want to undo it. They don't want to affirm it or stand up for it. But go to your Article 5 in your Constitution and read. It's one paragraph. Nowhere in there does it discuss a convention, how it would work, how delegates would be selected, how many delegates per state, what their authority would be, or an eligibility clause. If they talk about the president, they give you eligibility. If they talk about the U.S. senator, U.S. congressional member, they give you an age, a residential requirement, eligibility requirements. Nowhere do they do that. And I can't help but think if our founding fathers truly intended it to be used as they're suggesting, which is not the case, they would have laid out more instruction for us. They did not. And I've said this, there is no way that our near godless society today, whether Republicans or conservatives, don't know our Bible like those who called themselves or were called deists of our founding fathers knew their Bible. There's no way that our near godless society today can outdo what the God-fearing men did.
That's exactly right. And that's what Phyllis said to me in one of my interviews. She said, you know, look at this great document, but it was a mess, by the way, to get it.
Yeah.
It took forever. They finally had to add 10 Bill of Rights to add onto it because people didn't trust the federal government, and there would be 10 handcuffs onto the central government, of course, which we know through legislation, or excuse me, case law theory and ruling by liberal judges since the 1920s and the Christopher Columbus Langdow case law theory and legal positivism, moral relativism applied to the law and case law theory, they undid those 10 handcuffs off the central government and put them on the states. Now the federal government decides when we have freedom of religion, when we have freedom of speech, when we have the right to assemble. Those were supposed to be guaranteed, granted, no matter what. and handcuffs onto the central government, you can't limit. Now those handcuffs are off through the judicial gymnastics I explained, and they're on to the states, and Congress sits there and decides when we have these things. But even Patrick Henry said at the convention, Constitutional Convention, I smell a rat. So even he wasn't happy with how things were going, and that was then. And Phyllis Schlafly said in one of my interviews, do you, as you look around, Brandon, you see any men as smart as the founding fathers were, and you think we're going to put a right. team of people together to rewrite one? Give me a break. Let's go to the Convention of States before we go to Jefferson Davis with a follow-up on the three tidal waves, the three tsunamis coming to Wisconsin. Look at this. This is right from the conventionofstates.com website. Now, the blue is active legislation in this year. The green is passed the Convention of States resolution, and the yellow is passed in one chamber. So look at all the green states in the South that should know better that have passed, supposedly passed a Convention of the States resolution. Now, I'd like to know when those dates happen. I think they will tell you right there, 2017, 2016, 2017, 2019. Look like these are most, oh yeah, all pretty new. Because some of these were done several years ago, but these are all done very recently. Look at that. Yeah, ooh, that one, who was that? West Virginia did March 4th, 2022.
Indiana. West Virginia just fell. West Virginia just fell and Nebraska just fell this year. And I say fell, they were under siege. And here's what I've heard. They either suspend the rules, they change the rules, something that shouldn't happen or isn't the way it's supposed to happen happens. And then in Nebraska, I was told they were just so tired of being barraged every year. They're threatened or they're given promises. What those promises may be, I don't know, but I've heard it from several different legislators in a variety of states. I will say this. When Phyllis was fighting it, I think it got up to 32 states then, and we backed away from it as people learned how dangerous it was.
And by the way, it takes 34.
It
takes 34 states to call the convention and 38 to ratify any amendment that are proposed. So they're getting pretty doggone close,
well,
I think.
38 to ratify unless they change the process. They could change the process at a convention to a referendum. And as David Barton warned himself, you can build a fervor and get anything through a referendum. Imagine if we would have been voting during the COVID closings when we only heard one side of the news and half of it was banned off social media when there was truth. Imagine the danger we'd be in.
Yep. Let's go back to the map, Logan, so people can maybe even take a picture of that with their phone. So active, this is where the battle is right now in the blue states. So they're actively putting it in their legislation. And then the yellow states are the battle. The blue and the yellow are the battle passed in one chamber for the blue or for the yellow. So New Mexico, South Dakota, Iowa, New Hampshire, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina. You guys ought to better be calling your state legislators and telling them the dangers of a con or Article 5. This will be put up at frankspeech.com, frankspeech.com. So after we post this tomorrow, or if not tomorrow, Sunday, whenever it gets posted at frankspeech.com, you guys ought to send a link of this to your state legislators in these yellow states, okay, and in the blue states. The blue states, according to the Convention of States, is the active in this year. So they're going to consider it in these blue states this year. The yellow is passed a chamber, so you better not let it pass another chamber. So right now, all the focus seems to be on the blue states, the yellow states, and then, of course, I guess the white states right now have nothing, you know, it's not being considered. I'm shocked at Oregon and Colorado aren't trying something.
Well,
California.
We just got a warning on Missouri, so I don't know why that's green if they're still active and fighting in Missouri. So again, I don't know if you can trust this. And New Jersey rescinded all of their calls last December. New Jersey did, which is something you can consider. Tell your legislators to rescind all applications, to rescind all applications. That's something that you can do. And as well, the folks who are passing this, if you talk to them about it, likely they don't understand it. The people who are pushing it often can't explain it. Rick Santorum could not explain it to me that day other than to say he disagreed with Phyllis. He really could not defend it, which, by the way, there's a clip. I couldn't put it on Facebook. They wouldn't allow it. Alan Keyes had invited Rick Santorum on his show just in the last couple of weeks, and Rick backed out once he was told that Rob Owens from JBS, John Birch Society, would also be on to talk about the dangers of it.
Okay, so let me ask you in closing, because I got one more guest.
Out.
Who could we moderate live so nobody can edit it, and we would give equal time? I'll keep the clock. I won't take a side. I'll just keep the clock. Well, opening statements. Then we can debate. We have closing comments. I'll just sit and keep the clock. Who could we challenge to debate this issue?
Robert Brown, Mark Meckler.
Okay. So we're throwing down the gauntlet to Robert Brown and Mark Meckler to debate live on Lindell TV. I won't take a position, although I know my position, but you'll know everyone's position. But I'll just be a moderator that keeps the clock, introduces the people, reads their bio, opening statements for each. Then they can debate, closing statements, and we're done. I challenge them for an open debate that's live and can't be edited. What do you think, Tamara?
We've done that on our show already. I'm glad you're doing it as well. And even Rick Santorum and Rob Owens will invite it to you. You'd think you'd want to promote this if you think it's such a grand idea. And folks, you shouldn't be voting on it. Every legislator out there should say, no legislation's coming forward unless we have a debate and our constituents are allowed to hear both sides of the issues.
Absolutely.
That's fair.
Tamara Scott's on every day, as you've been seeing on the screen, from noon to 1. She's on right before me, noon to 1 on Lindell TV, lindelltv.com, frankspeech.com. And Tamara, what is your personal website? Do you have a website you want to promote?
I just got my domain back. I need to update it. If they want to find me at the Tamara Scott Show at gmail.com. You can email me, or you can go to my Facebook page, The Tamara Scott Show, on Facebook. So I will get that Facebook, the website back up and running, but I just got the domain back.
All right, great. Thank you, and say hi to Lowell for me and your lovely family. And thank you for all you guys are doing, and we love having you on Lindell TV. Thank you, Tamara.
Thank you. Thank you. Same to you and your family. Love you guys.
Tamara Scott checking in tonight. Remember, she's on every day, Monday through Friday at noon, right here on frankspeech.com, lindelltv.com.